ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we're going to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the chapter there on the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. And it's a synopsis, more or less, and very nicely done, so we'll read that. Just a few words before we begin. Of course, it's going to be, there's no breakfast this morning, so we might go a little bit, a few minutes over. And discussing the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. It's very interesting. Reading the chapter, I was pretty amazed how beautiful Lord Ramachandra was in the execution of his service. Of course, he is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. He had a purpose of redeveloping this idea of dharma, yada yada hi dharmasya glanya bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. That whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious principles or practice and the descent of irreligious activity, then Krishna comes and he establishes religion again. So it was very interesting how to read this, reading about this pastime and how beautiful it is, the Srimad Bhagavatam. In there also, we are given a glimpse at the transcendental nature of the appearance of the Lord. There's that verse, Yada, Jamba Karma Chame Divyam, Evam Yo Veti Tatvataha, Saktavadiham Punar Jamba Naiti Mam. Atiso Arjuna. And there we read that one who knows the transcendental nature of the appearance and activities of the Supreme Lord does not upon leaving this body return to this world, but goes to Krishna immediately. So these are very wonderful understandings. Krishna speaks these things in the Bhagavad Gita, but here in the pastime of Lord Ramachandra, we see all those characteristics are there. So so we see here that Krishna, you know, he's very easily understood if one actually follows the process. So that's, I think, a very important instruction in this pastime. Lord Ramachandra was an ideal king, ideal husband. He was a person of all high standards and statures. But the formula is very simple. If we just learn and hear about the pastimes of the Lord and have faith, this is actually a very simple formula to understand the activities, the pastimes, the disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're called divyam, or transcendental. These activities are not ordinary. They're transcendental. But it's very difficult to understand these things with our blunt senses, as they are right now. Our senses are originally spiritual, and they're covered over by this material contamination, the material body. And therefore, it's very difficult to understand. So the whole process of reading and hearing and chanting about the pastimes of the Lord is that it's actually purifying. This is how we purify ourselves. And this purification, it starts with the service attitude. And we see that Lord Ramachandra, he had, even though he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he had that unwavering service attitude. No matter what happened, like for instance, you know, we know that he was banished into the forest. He was like an ideal son who's serving his father, and he just went to the forest. He left it as if it was a dead body, just like if you leave a dead body, you just go. You don't think about anything, you just leave. And this was how Lord Ramachandra was an ideal son, even though we know that past time it wasn't right. It wasn't what we really should have been happening to Lord Ramachandra. But he was an ideal example of what it means to be in the service mood, the service attitude. So in Krishna consciousness, we try ourselves to be like that. Seva mukha hijavado svayam eva spurat yada. We understand that the whole thing is to endeavor to surrender to Krishna, to surrender to the spiritual master, and to be an ideal devotee. These are very important standards, especially if we're living and executing our service here in Krishna consciousness. And if we do that, then we'll understand that these pastimes of Krishna and Lord Ramachandra and other pastimes of Krishna are there to help us understand the difference between Krishna and the conditioned living entity. First of all, how can we understand the birth of Krishna? I mean, like, what, you know, you tell someone that Krishna appeared. What does that actually mean? Because we read in the Bhagavad Gita that the Krishna and the living entity, they're eternal. There's no question of birth and death for the living entity. So how do we answer that? What does that actually mean? So really, it's actually very simple. Prabhupada gives the example of like the sun. The sun is in one particular place. And the earth, of course, is there and it's rotating. So the sun is always in that one place. But depending where you are in the world, we're thinking that the sun is either rising or it's setting. But the sun isn't rising and setting. It's always one place. What's really happening is that the earth is turning. And then we see sunshine and but we say, oh, the sun's rising or the sun is setting. So in the same way, there's no question of birth and death for the soul. But what is the problem is that due to our karmic activities, we've acquired a material body, this material form, this contaminated form with contaminated senses. So there's no question of the soul dying or being born, neither for Krishna, neither for us, because we're spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. So there's no question about that. But there is a difference. It's described that the difference is that the living entity, because we've accepted a material body, we have to go through this process of birth and death. And in that process, we have taken so many different births. You know, we don't know how many. Cockroach, who knows? You know, ant, a pig, dog, anything. So many living entities. 8,400,000 species. We go through all those different species of life, but we don't remember it. We forget everything. We don't remember that we were ever an animal or an insect. We have no knowledge of that. And that is the difference between Krishna, his pastimes, and us. Krishna, he comes in his original form. Sachit Ananda Vigraha, his original form. And he's not mandated by the modes of material nature or karmic reaction to have to come to this material world. He comes specifically to institute his pastimes so that we can become purified and regain our real consciousness, which is spiritual or Krishna consciousness. That's really what this activity is about. So when we're reading this, we have to understand this subject matter, but it can only be understood by the service attitude. Otherwise, it's very difficult. Because of our senses being contaminated. So it's described that Atashi Krishna Namari Nabhavedgram Indriyai, that by the process of serving Krishna, our senses are become uncontaminated. Therefore, we can actually understand Krishna and these particular pastimes. Otherwise, it's very, very difficult. And the whole process of Krishna consciousness is purification, to purify the senses. Sarvapadi vinir muktap tat parat vena nirmalam. Yeah, tat nirmalam. So the activity of purifying the senses and getting rid of all the designations are very important to get rid of this designation that we're the body, that we're the mind. These are the things that create the problem in us being able to understand who Krishna is and all these wonderful glorification of his pastimes. So this is like the first step, just to understand that we're not the body is just the first step. It's not the end of it. It's just that we begin to be able to understand about Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So herein we'll see that there was a purpose for Lord Ramachandra to appear. He came to reestablish religious principles because we know that Ravana, a great demon, very powerful, he couldn't be killed by anyone. So Krishna, he appears in that way to come and annihilate these miscreants. And another thing that's very important is that Krishna does come, yada yada hi dharmasya, dharmasya, to establish dharma, real dharma. And Prabhupada said that, I've never read it, but I remember reading a lecture, Prabhupada said that dharma means a type of faith. So this is not what we're talking about. This is not what Krishna is referring to. Dharma is actually that one realizes that their occupational duty, who they really are and what is that duty. This is the kind of dharma that Krishna is professing, not just a type of faith. Because sometimes you can approach a person and you can tell them about Krishna consciousness and they'll say, well, you know, that's not my thing. Yeah, you know, I got my particular thing that I want and that I think is about God consciousness. It's not like that. That's not what Krishna comes to establish. Because if that's true, a type of faith, that means one day you can be a Hare Krishna devotee and next you can go become a Catholic. Or you can become a Catholic or a Protestant. Or you can believe some other thing. Some particular faith believe in killing animals. Like in the Christian faith, if you're a Christian, you can eat meat. But if you become a devotee, it said, no, you can't eat meat. Don't eat meat. It's simple. So you can see some faith is kill the meat, eat it, and you can become a great devotee of God. So it's not like that. When Krishna comes, he comes to establish the law. What is our constitutional position? And our constitutional position is a servant of Krishna. That's who we really are. We're servants. And people are so overcome by the modes of nature, they don't realize that they are serving. You have to serve somebody. That's the whole world is that. When I was growing up, there was a very famous store called Sears. It might still be around today, I don't know. But they used to have like a saying, service is our business. So service is there. It's in the material world. We serve everybody. We serve our senses. We serve our mother. We serve our father, our wife, our children, our country, our boss. We serve. That is a natural propensity to serve. And it's there within each and every one of us. And this is what Krishna is trying to come and establish, what real service means. Not for all these isms or what you feel like, but it means to serve Krishna. That is the point. That is what Krishna comes to do. That is what Srila Prabhupada has come to do. So, service. And in the course of actually doing service, one actually becomes purified. And bhaktyamam abhijananti yavanyasasmitatvataha. Only by service to Krishna can we understand him. And so this is service, by reading about the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, hearing about those pastimes, and speaking about the pastimes. That's actually service, hearing and chanting. And by that process, we become purified and we begin to realize that we're not this body, that we're spirit soul, that this body is part of the material energy, and this material energy is very miserable. It's described, Dukhalayama Shashvatam. This material world is a very miserable place. It's temporary. And sometimes you'll meet people, you can say to them, well, this world's very miserable. And they say, well, you know, I'm not sure. It might be a little bit tough. There might be some tough situations in the material world. It's kind of tough. But, I've learned how to really accept it. So they kind of give that laissez-faire kind of answer where, sure, I understand it's a bit tough, but hey, whatever. It's cool. Things are okay. Let me just go on. But what they don't realize, there's a very important aspect here, is that at any moment they can get kicked out of this material world. At any moment. So all their endeavor, all of their plan making, all of their attachments that they're trying to develop, there's no settlement here. The material world is not a place where the living entity can become really settled and satisfied, because this material world is specifically meant to create this anxiety, stress, fear, anxiety. Krishna gives protection to all living entities. He comes like that. He protects the pious and delivers them. But he also protects the demon, the criminal. Just like in the American government, there's a criminal and there's one who's actually following the laws of the land. So the law of the land, the person's being protected, and the criminal's being protected. But the difference is that the criminal is under punishment. So Krishna's protecting us. But we're living in a situation where we're being punished by our sinful activities. That's what this material world is. It's meant for that. It's meant to help us wake up and learn that we're not of this product of the world, that we're actually spirit soul. So taking this laissez-faire kind of idea that, okay, it's kind of miserable, let me just go on anyway, it's a lack of knowledge. It's like ignorant. So Krishna comes to reestablish this dharma, what our real constitutional position is. And here Lord Ramachandra is specifically an amazing example of that understanding, where he was a perfect individual, perfect son, perfect king, perfect husband. And what was really amazing is that in each particular step, he was showing us the proper process. So, the subjects loved Lord Ramachandra because of his high standard. They loved him, his interaction with each other, with devotee, with other subjects. So we should take some kind of lesson from this, of how we should be interacting with each other and how we should be ideal devotees. And we should also be ideal husbands and ideal wives, mothers and fathers. And we should develop loving relationships with each other. And this is the real essence of being a devotee in Krishna consciousness. How to develop all these wonderful attributes, these traits. They can only be acquired by service to Krishna. That's the only way. We can't just take out one particular, okay, so I'm going to be a good guy today. And that's artificial. Because tomorrow you may not be a good guy. Something may happen and you can't do it. So it's not artificial. It's about becoming absorbed fully in the pastimes of the Lord and truly surrendering to Krishna. Sarva dharmam parityajamam ekam saranam rajam aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma suchaha. That we have to abandon all varieties of religion. And there's so many. As we said, there's so many of those. We have to abandon all those. And we have to simply surrender to Krishna. And if we do, then Krishna says, do not fear. I'll protect you. I'll save you. And this takes a lot of faith. And it means also purification of ourselves, our body, our minds. And this activity is done by hearing and chanting. So when we're here hearing and chanting today about Krishna, this is our purification. And we'll learn what our real dharma is. Like Prabhupada gives the example of sugar. Sugar is sweet. The dharma of sugar is sweet. A chili is hot. And the dharma of a chili is hot. So if you mix them up, if you say, okay, sugar's hot and chili is sweet, that's adharma, speculation. So we have to kick out speculation and simply become a surrendered soul. And because you cannot understand the science of Krishna consciousness without surrender and without kicking out speculation. These are very important understandings in the science of Krishna consciousness. And if we understand that, then we'll see the importance of hearing and chanting these particular pastimes of Krishna and his devotees, of course. Okay. Just thought I'd say a few words. Thanks for tolerating. So we'll read a little bit here. We'll just read this chapter very quickly. It's a synopsis and not too long. But it gives us an idea of the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. So, beginning text 1. I'll just read the translations and some purports. Huh? I can't hear you. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, Ramachandra, I don't know the chapter 9. Chapter 10. So it's not going to be on the board? Maybe everybody can follow along better. Maybe we won't fall asleep. Okay, we'll start. Sukadeva Goswami said, "The son of Maharaj Katvanga was Dirgabahu, and his son was the celebrated Maharaj Raghu. From Maharaj Raghu came Aja, and from Aja was born the great personality Maharaj Dasarath. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Rama, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasarath." Purport. Lord Ramachandra and his brothers Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna are all Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands into many, many forms. Advaitam Achutam Anadim Ananta Rupam. Although they are one and the same, Vishnu Tattva has many forms and incarnations. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5:39, Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan. The Lord is situated in many forms, such as Rama, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. And these forms may exist in any part of His creation. All these forms exist permanently, eternally, as individual personalities of Godhead, and they resemble many candles, all equally powerful. Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, who being Vishnu Tattva are equally powerful, became the sons of Maharaj Dasarath in response to prayers by the demigods. Text 3. O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramachandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. Nice purport by Srila Prabhupada. Modern Rakshasas, posing as educationally advanced merely because they have doctorates, have tried to prove that Lord Ramachandra is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary person. But those who are learned and spiritually advanced will never accept such notions. They will accept the descriptions of Lord Ramachandra and his activities only as presented by Tattvadarshis, those who know the absolute truth. In the Bhagavad Gita 4:34, the Supreme Personality of Godhead advises Tad Vidhi Paripatena Pariprashnena Sevaya Upadekshanti Te Jnanam Jnaninas Tattvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Unless one is Tattvadarshi, in complete knowledge of the absolute truth, one cannot describe the activities of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, although there are many so-called Ramayans or histories of Lord Ramachandra's activities, some of them are not actually authoritative. Sometimes Lord Ramachandra's activities are described in terms of one's own imaginations, speculations, or material sentiments. But the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra should not be handled as something imaginary. While describing the history of Lord Ramachandra, Sukadeva Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit, quote, "You have already heard about the activities of Lord Ramachandra," end of quote. Apparently, therefore, 5,000 years ago, there were many Ramayanas, or histories of Lord Ramachandra's activities, and there are many still. But we must select only those books written by Tattvadarshis, or Gyaninas Tattvadarshinaha, not the books of so-called scholars who claim knowledge only on the basis of a doctorate. This is a warning by Sukadeva Goswami, Rishabhish Tattvadarshibhi. Although Ramayan, composed by Valmiki, is a huge literature, the same activities are summarized here by Sukadeva Goswami in a few verses. Okay, next verse. To keep the promise of his father intact, Lord Ramachandra immediately gave up the position of a king and accompanied his wife, Mother Sita, wandered from one forest to another on his lotus feet, which were so delicate that they were unable to bear even the touch of Sita's palms. The Lord is also accompanied by Hanuman, or by another monkey, Sugriva, king of the monkeys, and by his own younger brother, Lord Lakshman, both of whom gave him relief from the fatigue of wandering in the forest. Having cut off the nose and ears of Surpanaka, thus disfiguring her, the Lord was separated from Mother Sita. He therefore became angry, moving his eyebrows and thus frightening the ocean, who then allowed the Lord to construct a bridge to cross the ocean. Subsequently, the Lord entered the kingdom of Ravana to kill him, like a fire devouring a forest. May that Supreme Lord Ramachandra give us all protection. In the arena of the sacrifice performed by Vishwamrita, Lord Ramachandra, the king of Ayodhya, killed many demons, rakshasas, and uncivilized men who wandered at night in a mode of darkness. May Lord Ramachandra, who killed these demons in the presence of Lakshman, be kind enough to give us protection. O king, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra were wonderful, like those of a baby elephant. In the assembly where Mother Sita was to choose her husband, in the midst of the heroes of this world, he broke the bow belonging to Lord Shiva. This bow was so heavy that it was carried by 300 men, but Lord Ramachandra bent and strung it and broke it in the middle, just as a baby elephant breaks a stick of sugar cane. Thus the Lord achieved the hand of Mother Sita, who was equally as endowed with transcendental qualities of form, beauty, behavior, age, and nature. Indeed, she was the goddess of fortune who constantly rests on the chest of the Lord. While returning from Sita's home after gaining her at the assembly of competitors, Lord Ramachandra met Parashuram. Although Parashuram was very proud, having rid the earth of royal order 21 times, he was defeated by the Lord, who appeared to be a kshatriya of the royal order. Text 8. Carrying out the order of his father, who was bound by a promise to his wife, Lord Ramachandra left behind his kingdom, opulence, friends, well-wishers, residence, and everything else, just as a liberated soul gives up his life and went to the forest with Sita. Purport. Maharaj Dasarath had three wives. One of them, Kaikeyi, served him very pleasingly, and he therefore wanted to give her a benediction. Kaikeyi, however, said that she would ask for the benediction when it was necessary. At the time of the coronation of Prince Ramachandra, Kaikeyi requested her husband to enthrone her son, Bharat, and send Ramachandra to the forest. Maharaj Dasarath, being bound by his promise, ordered Ramachandra to go to the forest, according to the dictation of his beloved. And the Lord, as an obedient son, accepted the order immediately. He left everything without hesitation, just as a liberated soul or great yogi gives up his life without material attraction. Next verse. While wandering in the forest, where he accepted a life of hardship, carrying his invincible bow and arrows in his hand, Lord Ramachandra deformed Ravana's sister, who was polluted with lusty desires, by cutting off her nose and ears. He also killed her 14,000 Rakshasa friends headed by Kara, Trishira, and Dushana. O King Pariket, when Ravana, who had 10 heads on his shoulders, heard about the beautiful and attractive features of Sita, his mind was agitated by lusty desires, and he went to kidnap her. To distract Lord Ramachandra from his ashram, Ravana sent Maricha in the form of a golden deer, and when Lord Ramachandra saw that wonderful deer, he left his residence and followed it, and finally killed it with a sharp arrow, just as Lord Shiva killed Daksha. Next verse. When Ramachandra entered the forest and Lakshman was also absent, the worst of the Rakshasas, Ravana, kidnapped Sita Devi, the daughter of the king of Videha. Just as a tiger seizes unprotected sheep when the shepherd is absent. Then Lord Ramachandra wandered in the forest with his brother Lakshman, as if very much distressed due to separation from his wife. Thus he showed by his personal example the condition of a person attached to a woman. Purport. In this verse, the words Stri Sanginam Gatim Iti indicate that the condition of a person attached to women was shown by the Lord himself. According to moral instructions, Grihe Narim Vivarjayat, when one goes on a tour, one should not bring his wife. Formerly, men used to travel without conveyances, but still, as far as possible, when one leaves home, one should not take his wife with him, especially if one is in such a condition as Lord Ramachandra, when banished by the order of his father. Whether in the forest or at home, if one is attached to women, this attachment is always troublesome, as shown by the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his personal example. Of course, this is the material side of Sri Sangi, but the situation of Lord Ramachandra is spiritual, for he does not belong to the material world, Narayana Paro Vyaktat. Narayan is beyond the material creation, because he is the creator of the material world. He is not subject to the conditions of the material world. The separation of Lord Ramachandra from Sita is spiritually understood as Vipralamba, which is an activity of the Haladini potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, belonging to the Shringara Rasa, the mellow of conjugal love in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has all the dealings of love, displaying the symptoms called Satvika, Sanchari, Vilapa, Muricha, and Ummada. Thus, when Lord Ramachandra was separated from Sita, all these spiritual symptoms were manifested. The Lord is neither impersonal nor impotent. Rather, he is Satchit Ananda Vigraha, the eternal form of knowledge and bliss, and thus he has all the symptoms of spiritual bliss. Feeling separation from one's beloved is also an item of spiritual bliss. As explained by Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, Radha Krishna Pranaya Viriktir Hladini Shakti, the dealings of love between Radha and Krishna are displayed as the pleasure potency of the Lord. The Lord is the original source of all pleasure, the reservoir of all pleasure. Lord Ramachandra therefore manifested the truth both spiritually and materially. Materially, those who are attached to women suffer, but spiritually, when there are feelings of separation between the Lord and his pleasure potency, the spiritual bliss of the Lord increases. This is further explained in Bhagavad Gita, Avajanantima mudha manusyam tanum asritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. One who does not know the spiritual potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead thinks of the Lord as an ordinary human being. But the Lord's mind, intelligence, and senses can never be affected by material conditions. Thus, this fact is further explained in a Skanda Purana as quoted by Madhavacharya. We won't read all the verses. We'll just go on to purport. It was actually impossible for Ravana to take away Sita. The form of Sita taken by Ravana was an illusory representation of Mother Sita, Maya Sita. When Sita was tested in the fire, this Maya Sita was burnt and the real Sita came out of the fire. A further understanding to be derived from this example is that a woman, however powerful she may be in the material world, must be given protection. For as soon as she is unprotected, she will be exploited by Rakshasas like Ravana. Here the words Vaideha Raja Duhitari indicate that before Mother Sita was married to Lord Ramachandra, she was protected by her father, Vaideha Raj. And when she was married, she was protected by her husband. Therefore, the conclusion is that a woman should always be protected. According to the Vedic rule, there is no scope for a woman's being independent. Ashamaksham. For a woman cannot protect herself independently. Next verse. Lord Ramachandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, has assumed the form of a human being. Thus he performed the funeral ceremony of Jatayu, who was killed by Ravana. The Lord then killed the demon named Kadamba, and after Kabunda. And after making friends with the monkey chiefs, killing Bali, and arranging for the deliveries of Mother Sita, he went to the beach of the ocean. Little purport. When Ravana kidnapped Sita, he was obstructed on the way by Jatayu, a large bird. But the powerful Ravana defeated Jatayu in the fight and cut his wing. When Ramachandra was searching for Sita, he found Jatayu almost dead and was informed that Sita had been carried off by Ravana. When Jatayu died, Lord Ramachandra did the duty of a son by performing the funeral ceremony. And then he made friends with the monkeys to deliver Sita Devi. Text 13. After reaching the beach, Lord Ramachandra fasted for 3 days, awaiting the arrival of the ocean personified. When the ocean did not come, the Lord exhibited his pastimes of anger, and simply by glancing over the ocean, all the living entities within, including the crocodiles and sharks, were agitated by fear. Then the personified ocean fearfully approached Lord Ramachandra, taking all paraphernalia to worship him. Falling at the Lord's feet, the personified ocean spoke as follows. O all-pervading Supreme Person, who we are dull-minded and did not understand who you are, but now we understand that you are the Supreme Person, the master of the entire universe, the unchanging and original personality of Godhead. The demigods are infatuated with the mode of goodness, the Prajapatis with the mode of passion, and the Lord of ghosts with the mode of ignorance. But you are the master of all these qualities. You can read the purport. The word jadadiya refers to intelligence like that of an animal. A person with such intelligence cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without being beaten, an animal cannot understand the purpose of a man. Similarly, those who are dull-minded cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when punished severely by the modes of material nature, they begin to understand him. A Hindi poet has said, Dukha se sabha hari bhaje, sukha hai bhaje koi, sukha se agar hari bhaje, dukha katan se hoy. When one is distressed, he goes to the church or temple to worship the Lord. But when opulent, he forgets the Lord. Therefore, the punishment by the Lord through the material nature is necessary in human society, for without it, men forget the supremacy of the Lord due to their dull, blunt intelligence. Next verse, 15. My Lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravana, who is the great source of disturbance and crime for the three worlds. He is the son of Vishvarava, who but is condemned like urine. Please go kill him and thus regain your wife, Sita Devi. O great hero, although my water represents no impediment to your going to Lanka, please construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame. Upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings in the future will glorify you. Purport. It is said that a son and urine emanate from the same source, the genitals. When a son is a devotee or a great learned person, the seminal discharge for begetting a son is successful. But if the son is unqualified and brings no glory to his family, he is no better than urine. Here Ravana is compared to urine because he was a cause of disturbances to the three worlds. Thus the ocean personified wanted him killed by Lord Ramachandra. One feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, is omnipotence. The Lord can act without regard to material impediments or inconveniences, but to prove that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and was not merely advertised as Godhead or elected by popular vote, he constructed a wonderful bridge over the ocean. Nowadays, it has become fashionable to create some artificial god who performs no uncommon activities. A little magic will bewilder a foolish person into selecting an artificial god because he does not understand how powerful God is. Lord Ramachandra, however, constructed a bridge over the water with stone by making the stone float. This is proof of God's uncommonly wonderful power. Why should someone be accepted as God without displaying extraordinary potency by doing something never to be done by any common man? We accept Lord Ramachandra as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he constructed this bridge, and we accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he lifted Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years old. We should not accept any rascal as God or an incarnation of God, for God displays special features in his various activities. Therefore, the Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tektva deham punar janma naitimam eti so Arjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. The activities of the Lord are not common. They are all transcendentally wonderful and not able to be performed by any other living being. The symptoms of the Lord's activities are all mentioned in the Shastras, and after one understands them, one can accept the Lord as he is. Just one thing on this. I think they actually found that bridge that Lord Ramachandra constructed, didn't they? Wasn't there some kind of like satellite photos taken? And they found those stones being there, like a bridge? Huh? Near to Ceylon. Oh, Sri Lanka. Sorry. Yes, so it is actually there. Sukadeva Goswami said, and also they found Dwarka, by the way. Many years ago, there was an archaeologist. He came to L.A. here, and he showed some slideshow. And the slideshow showed that there was a city, and it was Dwarka City. So these things actually were there. They actually existed. Sukadeva Goswami said, after constructing a bridge over the ocean by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains whose trees and other vegetation have been shaken by the hands of great monkeys, Lord Ramachandra went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana. With the direction and help of Vibhishana, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers headed by Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which had previously been burnt by Hanuman. What is that city? What is that? Hampi? Hampi. Yes. Has anyone heard of Hampi? Hampi? Yes. It's in South India. A very special place. It's where Hanuman took birth. And it's like a stone city. And there was also a great devotee of Lord Hanuman that lived there. Now, that particular little, it's a village. There's descriptions about this particular city from hundreds of years ago. It was part of the Silk Road, you know, the Silk Road through Asia. Yeah, so the people that would travel, do trading on the Silk Road, they would stop at Hampi. And there's carvings of Lord Nrisimhadev, Rathyatra, Hanuman. There's something like a 25-foot high deity of Lord Nrisimhadev, right out of stone. So it was like a mountainous, stony area. And so this is where the monkey soldiers came from this particular area. And so I just remember that as we're reading this. Okay. We'll just go on to the next verse. After entering Lanka, the monkey soldiers, led by chiefs like Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, occupied all the sporting houses, granaries, treasuries, palace doorways, city gates, assembly houses, palace frontages, and even the resting house of the pigeons. When the city's crossroads, platforms, flags, and golden water pots on its domes were all destroyed, the entire city of Lanka appeared like a river disturbed by a herd of elephants. When Ravana, the master of the Rakshasa, saw the disturbances created by the monkey soldiers, he called for Nikumba, Kumba, Dumraksha, Durmukha, Surantaka, Narantaka, and other Rakshasas, and also his son Indrajit. Thereafter he called for Prahasta, Atikaya, Vikampana, and finally Kumbhakarna. Then he induced all his followers to fight against the enemies. Lord Ramachandra, surrounded by Lakshman and monkey soldiers like Sugriva, Hanuman, Gandamada, Nila, Angada, Jambavan, and Panasa attacked the soldiers of the Rakshasas, who were fully equipped with various invincible weapons like swords, lances, bows, brashas, rishtis, shakti arrows, gudgas, and tamaras. Angada and other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers, who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. Let's see. We'll read the purport. The soldiers Lord Ramachandra recruited in the jungle were all monkeys and did not have proper equipment with which to fight the soldiers of Ravana. For Ravana's soldiers were equipped with weapons of modern warfare, whereas the monkeys could only throw stones, mountain peaks, and trees. It was only Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman who shot some arrows, but because the soldiers of Ravana were condemned by the curse of Mother Sita, the monkeys were able to kill them simply by throwing stones and trees. There are two kinds of strength, Daiva and Purushakara. Daiva refers to the strength achieved from the transcendence, and Purushakara refers to the strength organized by one's own intelligence and power. Transcendental power is always superior to the power of the materialist. Depending on the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one must fight one's enemies even though one may not be equipped with modern weapons. Therefore, Krishna instructed Arjuna, Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha, think of me and fight. We should fight our enemy to the best of our ability, but for victory we must depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 21. Thereafter, when Ravana, the king of the Rakshasa, observed that his soldiers had been lost, he was extremely angry. Thus he mounted his airplane, which was decorated with flowers, and proceeded toward Lord Ramachandra, who sat on the effulgent chariot brought by Matali, the chariot driver of Indra. Then Ravana struck Lord Ramachandra with sharp arrows. Text 22. Lord Ramachandra said to Ravana, "You are the most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble a dog. For as a dog steals edibles from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, in my absence you kidnap my wife Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes the sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful, and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you." I think we should read that purport. All right. Na cha daivat param balam. No one can surpass the strength of the transcendence. Ravana was so simple and shameless that he did not know what the result would be of kidnapping Mother Sita, the pleasure potency of Ramachandra. This is the disqualification of the Rakshasas. Asatyam apratishtam te jagat ahur anishvaram. The Rakshasas are unaware that the Supreme Lord is the ruler of the creation. They think that everything has come about by chance or accident, and that there is no ruler, king, or controller. Therefore, the Rakshasas act independently as they like, going even so far as to kidnap the goddess of fortune. This policy of Ravana's is extremely dangerous for the materialist. Indeed, it brings ruin to the materialistic civilization. Nonetheless, because atheists are Rakshasas, they dare to do things that are most abominable, and thus they are punished without fail. Religion consists of the orders of the Supreme Lord, and one who carries out these orders is religious. One who fails to carry out the Lord's orders is irreligious, and he is to be punished. 23. After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramachandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. So we'll just go on to the next verse, text number 24. Thereafter, all the women whose husbands had fallen in the battle, headed by Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, came out of Lanka, continuously crying. They approached the dead bodies of Ravana and the other Rakshasas, striking their breasts in affliction because their husbands had been killed by the arrows of Lakshman. The women embraced their respective husbands and cried piteously in voices appealing to everyone. O my Lord, O Master, you epitomized trouble for others, and therefore you were called Ravana. But now that you have been defeated, we also are defeated, for without you, the state of Lanka has been conquered by the enemy. To whom will it go for shelter? O greatly fortunate one, you came under the influence of lusty desires, and therefore you could not understand the influence of Mother Sita. Now, because of her curse, you have been reduced to this state, having been killed by Lord Ramachandra. So, purport. Not only was Mother Sita powerful, but any woman who follows in the footsteps of Mother Sita can also become similarly powerful. There are many instances of this in the history of Vedic literature. Whenever we find a description of ideal chaste women, Mother Sita is among them. Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, was also very chaste. Similarly, Draupadi was one of the five exalted chaste women. As a man must follow great personalities like Brahma and Narada, a woman must follow the path of such ideal women as Sita, Mandodari, and Draupadi. By staying chaste and faithful to her husband, a woman enriches herself with supernatural power. It is a moral principle that one should not be influenced by lusty desires for another's wife. Matrivat paradareshu. An intelligent person must look upon another's wife as being like his mother. This is a moral instruction from Chanyaka Shloka. Matrivat paradareshu paradravyeshu lostravat. Atmavat sarvabhuteshu ya pashyati sa panditaha. One who considers another's wife as his mother, another's possessions as a lump of dirt, and treats all other living beings as he would himself, is considered to be learned. End of quote. Thus Ravana was condemned not only by Lord Ramachandra, but even by his own wife, Mandodari. Because she was a chaste woman, she knew the power of another chaste woman, especially such a wife as Mother Sita Devi. 28. O pleasure of the Rakshasa dynasty, because of you, the state of Lanka, and also we ourselves now have no protector. By your deeds, you have made your body fit to be eaten by vultures, and your soul fit to go to hell. One who follows the path of Ravana is condemned in two ways. His body is fit to be eaten by dogs and vultures, and the soul goes to hell, as stated by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 16:19, Tan aham dvisata kururan samareshu naradaman shippam yajasram asubham ashurishvaiveva yonisu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. End of quote. Thus the destination of godless atheists such as Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, and Dantavakra is a hellish condition of life. Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, could understand all this because she was a chaste woman. Although lamenting for the death of her husband, she knew what would happen to his body and soul. For although one cannot see directly with one's material eyes, one can see with eyes of knowledge. Pashyanti jnana chakshushaha. In Vedic history, there are many instances of how one becomes godless and is condemned by the laws of nature. 29. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Vibhishana, the pious brother of Ravana and devotee of Lord Ramachandra, received approval from Lord Ramachandra, the king of Kosala. Then he performed the prescribed funeral ceremonies for his family members to save them from the path of hell. We'll continue on. Thereafter, Lord Ramachandra found Sita Devi sitting in a small cottage beneath a tree named Simhasapa. In a forest of Ashoka trees, she was lean and thin, being aggrieved because of separation from him. Seeing his wife in that condition, Lord Ramachandra was very compassionate. When Ramachandra came before her, she was exceedingly happy to see her beloved, and her lotus-like mouth showed her joy. After giving Vibhishana the power to rule the Rakshasa population of Lanka for the duration of one kalpa, Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, placed Sita Devi on an airplane decorated with flowers and then got on the plane himself. The period for his living in the forest having ended, the Lord returned to Ayodhya, accompanied by Hanuman, Sugriva, and his brother Lakshman. When Lord Ramachandra returned to his capital, Ayodhya, he was greeted on the road by the princely order, who showered his body with beautiful fragrant flowers, while great personalities like Lord Brahma and other demigods glorified the activities of the Lord in great jubilation. Upon reaching Ayodhya, Lord Ramachandra heard that in his absence, his brother Bharat was eating barley cooked in the urine of a cow, covering his body with the bark of trees, wearing matted locks of hair, and lying on a mattress of kusa. The most merciful Lord very much lamented this. When Lord Brahma understood that Lord Ramachandra was returning to the capital, Ayodhya, he immediately took upon his own head Lord Ramachandra's wooden shoes and came out from his camp at Nandigram. Lord Bharat was accompanied by ministers, priests, and other respectable citizens, by professional musicians vibrating pleasing musical sounds, and by learned brahmanas loudly chanting Vedic hymns. Following in the procession were chariots drawn by beautiful horses and harnesses of golden rope. These chariots were decorated by flags with golden embroidery and by other flags of various sizes and patterns. There were soldiers bedecked with golden armor, servants bearing betel nut, and many well-known and beautiful prostitutes. Many servants followed on foot, bearing an umbrella, whisks, different grades of precious jewels, and other paraphernalia befitting a royal reception. Accompanied in this way, Lord Bharat, his heart softened in ecstasy and his eyes full of tears, approached Lord Ramachandra and fell at his lotus feet with great ecstatic love. After offering the wooden shoes before Lord Ramachandra, Lord Bharat stood with folded hands, his eyes full of tears, and Lord Ramachandra bathed Bharat with tears while embracing him with both arms for a long time. Accompanied by Mother Sita and Lakshman, Lord Ramachandra then offered his respectful obeisances unto the learned brahmanas and the elderly persons in the family, and all the citizens of Ayodhya offered their respectful obeisances unto the Lord. The citizens of Ayodhya, upon seeing their king return after long absence, offered him flower garlands, waved their upper cloths, and danced in great jubilation. O King, Lord Bharat carried Lord Ramachandra's wooden shoes. Sugriva and Vibhishana carried a whisk and an excellent fan. Hanuman carried a white umbrella. Satrughna carried a bow and two quivers. And Sita Devi carried a water pot filled with water from holy places. Angada carried a sword. And Jambavan, king of the Rikshas, carried a golden shield. O King Parikshit, as the Lord sat on his airplane of flowers with women offering him prayers and reciters chanting about his characteristics, he appeared like the moon with the stars and planets. Thereafter, having been welcomed by his brother Bharat, Lord Ramachandra entered the city of Ayodhya in the midst of a festival. When he entered the palace, he offered obeisances to all the mothers, including Kaikeyi and the other wives of Maharaj Dasarath, and especially his own mother, Kaushalya. He also offered obeisances to the spiritual preceptors such as Vasishta. Friends of his own age and younger friends worshipped him, and he returned their respectful obeisances, as did Lakshman and Mother Sita. In this way, they all entered the palace. Upon seeing their sons, the mothers of Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Satrughna immediately arose like unconscious bodies returning to consciousness. The mothers placed their sons on their laps and bathed them with tears, thus relieving themselves of the grief of long separation. The family priest or spiritual master Vasishta had Lord Ramachandra cleanly shaved, freeing him from his matted locks of hair. Then, with the cooperation of the elderly members of the family, he performed the bathing ceremony for Lord Ramachandra with the water of the four seas and with other substances, just as it was performed for King Indra. Lord Ramachandra fully bathed and his head clean shaven, dressed himself very nicely, and was decorated with the garland and ornaments. Thus he shone brightly, surrounded by his brothers and wife, who were similarly dressed and ornamented. Being pleased by the full surrender and submission of Lord Ramachandra, then accepted the throne of the state. He cared for the citizens exactly like a father, and the citizens, being fully engaged in their occupational duties of varna and ashram, accepted him as their father. This is a very powerful purport, so we should read it. People are very fond of the pattern of Ram Raj, and even today politicians sometimes form a party called Ram Raj. But unfortunately, they have no obedience to Lord Ram. It is sometimes said that people want the kingdom of God without God. Such an aspiration, however, is never to be fulfilled. Good government can exist when the relationship between the citizens and the government is like that exemplified by Lord Ramachandra and his citizens. Lord Ramachandra ruled his kingdom exactly as a father takes care of his children, and the citizens, being obliged to the good government of Lord Ramachandra, accepted the Lord as their father. Thus, the relationship between the citizens and the government should be exactly like that between father and son. When the sons in a family are well trained, they are obedient to the father and mother, and when the father is well qualified, he takes good care of the children. As indicated here by the words Svadharma Nirata Vanashrama Gunan Vitaha, the people were good citizens because they accepted the institution of Varna and Ashram, which arranges society in the Varna division of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra, and the Ashram's division of Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanapras, and Sannyas. This is actual human civilization. People must be trained according to the different Varnashram occupational duties. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chatur Varnyam Maya Shistam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. The four varnas must be established according to varying qualities and work. The first principle for good government is that it must institute this Vanashram system. The purpose of Vanashram is to enable people to become God conscious. Vanashrama Varnash Rama Chara Vata Purushena Para Puman Vishnu Arajate. The entire Vanashram scheme is intended to enable people to become Vaishnavas. Vishnur Asya Devata. When people worship Lord Vishnu as the Supreme Lord, they become Vaishnavas. Thus, people should be trained to become Vaishnavas through the system of Varna and Ashram, as they were during the reign of Lord Ramachandra, when everyone was fully trained to follow the Vanashram principles. Simply enforcing laws and ordinances cannot make the citizens obedient and lawful. That is impossible. Throughout the entire world, there are so many states, legislative assemblies, and parliaments, but still the citizens are rogues and thieves. Good citizenship, therefore, cannot be enforced. The citizens must be trained. And there are schools and colleges to train students to become chemical engineers, lawyers, or specialists in many other departments of knowledge. There must be schools and colleges to train students to become brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, sudras, brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis. This will provide the preliminary condition for good citizenship, vanashrama gunan vitaha. Generally speaking, if the king or president is a rajarshi, the relationship between the citizens and the chief executive will be clear, and there will be no possibility of disruption in the state, because the number of thieves and rogues will decrease. In Kali Yuga, however, because the vanashram system is neglected, people are generally thieves and rogues. In the system of democracy, such thieves and rogues naturally collect money from other thieves and rogues, and thus there is chaos in every government, and no one is happy. But here the example of good government is to be found in the reign of Lord Ramachandra. If people follow this example, there will be good government all over the world. Next verse. Lord Ramachandra became king during Treta Yuga, but because of his good government, the age was like Satya Yuga. Everyone was religious and completely happy. We'll go on to the next verses. O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Bharat dynasty, during the reign of Lord Ramachandra, the forests, the rivers, the hills, and mountains, the states, the seven islands, and the seven seas were all favorable, supplying the necessities of life for all living beings. When Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was the king of the world, all bodily and mental suffering, disease and old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear, and fatigue were completely absent. There was even no death for those who did not want it. Lord Ramachandra took a vow to accept only one wife and have no connection with any other woman. He was a saintly king, and everything in his character was good, untinged by qualities like anger. He taught good behavior for everyone, especially for householders, in terms of anashram dharma, and thus he taught the general public by personal activities. Purport. Eka Patni Vrata, accepting only one wife, was a glorious example set by Lord Ramachandra. One should not accept more than one wife. In those days, of course, people did marry more than one wife. Even Lord Ramachandra's father accepted more wives than one. But Lord Ramachandra was an ideal king, accepted only one wife, Mother Sita. When Mother Sita was kidnapped by Ravana and the Rakshasas, Lord Ramachandra, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could have married hundreds and thousands of Sitas, but to teach us how faithful he was to his wife, he fought with Ravana and finally killed him. The Lord punished Ravana and rescued his wife to instruct men to have only one wife. Lord Ramachandra accepted only one wife and manifested sublime character, thus setting an example for householders. A householder should live according to the ideal of Lord Ramachandra, who showed how to be a perfect person. Being a householder or living with a wife and children is never condemned, providing one lives according to the regulative principles of anashram dharma. Those who live in accordance with these principles, whether as householders, brahmacharis, or vanaprasas, are all equally important. Next verse. Mother Sita was very submissive, faithful, shy, and chaste, always understanding the attitude of her husband. Thus, by her character and her love and service, she completely attracted the mind of the Lord. So, purport. As Lord Ramachandra is the ideal husband, Eka Patni Vrata, Mother Sita, is also the ideal wife. Such a combination makes family life very happy. Yad yad acharati shrestas tad evetaro jana. Whatever example great man sets, common men follow. If the kings, the leaders, and the brahmanas, the teachers, would set forth the examples we see from Vedic literature, the entire world would become heaven, would be heaven. Indeed, there would no longer be hellish conditions within this material world. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports, the 9th canto, 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Pastimes of the Supreme Lord Ramachandra. Ramachandra Maharaj ki jai. So, here we heard he was the ideal husband, ideal king. He gave up the association of his wife, although she was ideal, just to set a standard. His relationships are very important. So for us, we should understand relationships and Krishna consciousness are extremely important. So we should be very conscious of that and treat each other properly and try to understand that for us, we should try to serve each other, treat each other as devotees. These are essential for advancing in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, very difficult. And Lord Ramachandra did this so beautifully with his subjects, all his millions of subjects. He treated them as his son or daughter. So we ourselves, we should be conscious of that here in the temple and try to associate with each other like brothers and like sisters, essential for the advancement of Krishna consciousness. All right. Sri Lord Ramachandra ki jai. Sri Prabhupada ki jai.